This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
The appointment of André de Ruyter to lead the Eskom unbundling process and turnaround has garnered a very mixed reaction so far. If you strip out many of the race trolls on social media and the vacuous opposition politics, I think the crisp questions for my money are certainly why was Andy Carlos jettisoned and will the new CEO enjoy the ultimate support of his shareholder and board to get on with what needs to be done in terms of retrenchments and the overall strategy, and will he go for the least cost option? My next guests have obviously been following the Eskom story quite closely for some time. Who hasn't really? Mike Rousseau, the chief executive of Independent Energy Thought Leader. He's previously worked as an energy thought leader at Eskom and was formerly the chairperson of the Energy Intensive Users Group. Peter Retard Montalto, who's a head of capital markets research at Intellidex. And Peter, a special mention because you join us on honeymoon. So congratulations, firstly. I hope Mrs. Tard Montalto isn't too upset with you. And Dion Reinecker, who's head of energy at Union Solidarity, one of the three recognized at Eskom. Mike, kick us off. Considering that André de Ruyter's job isn't to save Eskom, his job is to actually oversee the unbundling and prepare it for the future, how well suited do you think he is to that task, considering his track record at Sasol and Nampak and the manufacturing circle?
Good evening, Paul and Jeff. I think we need to just consider two very important things. Firstly, this is the first time in a long time that government has taken a bold step to appoint a person that is capable and competent. I'm reminded of the appointment of Kolisi as the captain of the Springbok team, where many people thought it was a racial-based thing. It wasn't. He was capable, competent, and he proved that to all of us. And I think André's appointment is about the same thing. It's not a racial appointment. It's got nothing to do with that. I think we've got to get that out of the way. This is a very capable man, very experienced, internationally and locally. So kudos to government, kudos to the ANC for this appointment. I think I'm very excited about it, and I think he will be able to do the job. The second thing is André faces enormous challenges in Eskom. Financial, I think he will be able to get to that very quickly given his background and his experience and qualifications. Secondly, in regards to the organization, he's got lots of experience in that, and I think he will be able to do a great job. His biggest challenge is the current operation in Eskom is going south all the time and is not doing well. So in that regard, he's going to definitely need external advisors to give him advice to steer the ship and get Eskom back on track. But personally, in summary, I think this is a great appointment, great news, and we look forward to what he's going to do.
Mike, I'm going to circle back as to what exactly provides you with that confidence, but I want to get everyone's initial comments on the appointment first up. Peter, what are your thoughts?
Good evening. Well, I think the most interesting thing here is that we've found sort of a very fine balance between someone who is clearly better than a number of other candidates that were on the table who had Eskom experience, but someone who seems to have fallen short in terms of the amount of thinking they'd done in advance of appointment on Eskom with their industry players, someone who I think the markets have seen a challenging history at Nampak in particular, albeit haven't done a bad job there. But I think the key test really going forwards is going to be, you know, actually what is the role of a CEO? And I think that wasn't made clear yesterday in the appointment and is going to be the real test. This is ultimately someone who has to be deeply involved in highly controversial, highly political tugs of war, and I think that's really where the skepticism comes in, as opposed to the business management, the planning, the ability to run a company per se.
The track record and the acumen is clearly there. It is always in an SOE all about navigating the minefield of the politics. I recall once talking to a very senior executive inside Telkom who thought he would do some time on the board for good public service, and he said it was just like walking through treacle to get any decision made, because everything had to go back through the line minister as the direct route to the shareholder. Now, Dion, from your perspective, how do you view the appointment?
Well, as my colleague said, that I think André de Ruyter is an excellent appointment. I'm glad that it's not a political appointment. I think we are at a stage currently in South Africa where we, especially as trade unions, must accept that appointment was made trying to rescue Eskom. And if we look at the previous appointments that was made, some of the trade unions never agreed to those appointments. There was always something about, you know, Jabu Mabuza is a taxi owner, Okamani Khadebe was from Barclays, and so I can call everybody up. Nobody was ever happy with the appointment. I think we are at the stage where we need to support the new appointment and try to get a turnaround strategy that can save Eskom, so that we cannot end up in a situation where the SAA is currently.
We do need to be pulling in the same direction, Mike, to bring you in here on that earlier point on what gives you confidence that André de Ruyter is going to be the conductor of this orchestra. One doesn't have to, as I said last night, necessarily be the finest piano or violin player, but one needs to be able to conduct this orchestra with all of these moving parts. What gives you the confidence that de Ruyter is the man for the job?
Well, very simply, there are two important equations in the whole Eskom problem. The one is the supply, and the second one is understanding the demand equation. For the first time, we have a CEO who understands the demand equation very well. Now, both the IRP and government have been neglected in understanding the demand equation. André understands it perfectly, so he can then match what he understands to be the demand equation, and he's been very, very vocal about this, both in the press and presentations that he's done, and in saying that we need to get industry back on course. He understands that, and I'm quite confident that he's able to do it. Hence the reason why I'm very confident this is the right appointment. In regard to the supply equation, in that regard, the simple problem is Eskom's management of its generation fleet and the supply has gone south, and it's getting worse by the day. Nonetheless, I think he will be able to identify people that will be able to advise him to put that thing back on track as quickly as possible. So I think this is the best news that I've heard in a long time. And kudos to the ANC and kudos to government that will get us back on track.
And Peter, I must echo what a colleague of André de Ruyter's, Philippa Rodsworth of the Manufacturing Circle, said to me yesterday, when she pretty much said what Mike Rousseau has just said. Here's an individual who understands all of those demand-side components, and she's extremely excited as the executive head of the Manufacturing Circle, which represents a large chunk of the country's manufacturers. That should tell you quite something about the confidence that big energy intensive users have of this appointment.
Well, I think part I disagree with is that this wasn't a political appointment. I think ultimately the way this process has worked is with very hefty political conditionality involved in how the board has looked at the entire process. How the four cabinet ministers have interviewed various candidates. There has been a huge political element actually coming into this, and I think there is a number of outstanding questions that still have to be answered of exactly how different candidates were chosen over each other, in particular that will I think come out more in the coming weeks. But the real problem here I think is that ultimately the job of a CEO of an SOE is to fight these highly political battles. And I think when business backs an SOE leader like this, that they do it through statements, obviously, but really what's actually required for true backing, and if we're very explicit about this, is that business will have to back André de Ruyter basically in battles against Pravin Gordhan, and they'll have to take the side of the CEO against Pravin Gordhan or against Guido Mantas or against the president. That's ultimately what backing is all about, and I think that's really the challenge to send to business, to the energy intensive users group, to the manufacturing circle, is are you actually willing to do that as opposed to just issue statements?
Yeah, for once, actually, stick your necks above the parapet. We've seen so often in the past how when Tony Trea was head of Anglo American, he was quickly cut down by Thabo Mbeki. We've seen it with Roel Khoza when he was chairman of Nedbank. It is time for business to find its collective spine and not be supine ahead of the challenge. On the issue of labor here, Dion, Jabu Mabuza said if there was one thing he wanted to have accomplished when he leaves his post, it's to have created an environment where Eskom and unions are able to have a more frank and robust discussion about the future of Eskom. Do you think that de Ruyter will find such fertile ground when he arrives at Eskom?
Personally, I don't think he will find that. Unfortunately, some of the trade unions never approved to Jabu Mabuza's point of views, and they rejected everything he said. My opinion is that he will not find it. But I agree with the previous speakers, is that André de Ruyter, he's not a political appointment. He can focus on the business. And with persons on his side like Jan Oberholzer, the new, as well as the new generation executive that was appointed, and so also the other executives, as a team, they can be a formidable team for the turnaround strategy of Eskom. I think we are at this point, we as South Africans need to stand together and support this team that is currently leading Eskom, and rather put our political differences aside to save Eskom.
One can certainly but hope that will be the case. I am remaining sceptical, just judging by what some of the other unions have said up to this point. Dion Reyneke, Head of Energy at Solidarity, thank you so much for joining us, along with Mike Rousseau, Chief Executive of Independent Energy Thought Leader, and Peter Retard-Montalto. I'll let you get back to your honeymoon, Head of Capital Markets Research at IntelliDex.